The Seals. A panoramic view of the first half of The 7-Year Tribulation. By Billy Crone. Part 1. The Introduction to the Seals. Chapter 1. After the Rapture. The first call comes into an emergency call center.
911, what is your emergency?
A mom is hysterically screaming.
Help, please, help, my little boy just disappeared.
The 911 dispatcher replies.
Ma'am, what do you mean? Has someone taken him?
No, I was holding him in my arms and he's just gone. Help, please help.
Flight 418, this is Delta Tower. Please confirm your plans to descend. Flight 418, please check in, over. Nervous silence fills the tower's control room. Turning to her supervisor, the air traffic controller gasps.
Sir, Flight 418 is not responding.
Nervous travelers begin to shout.
What's going on? We are passing our destination.
But the cockpit is empty, and the flight crew has disappeared. A husband and wife are heading home from a ballgame, following a car on Highway 39, when the car they are following suddenly veers off the road. The husband jumps out and rushes to the car, only to discover the car is empty. A nurse runs out of a hospital nursery screaming.
All the babies are gone.
A 21-year-old girl is dancing the night away at her favorite nightclub. Just a few hours earlier, she had cussed out her parents and told them to never preach to her again. She quickly dials her parents' phone frantically, only to hear it ring and ring. She hangs up and dials their cell phones, only to get voicemail. Her heart races as she recalls her dad's warning.
Honey, please turn to Jesus, he is coming soon.
A man pulling his car into his favorite restaurant flips off another driver as the car races by and crashes into the building. Angry but shocked, he jumps out to see what just happened. As he opens the door, nobody is there. A terrified, panicking woman rushes out of the restaurant screaming.
Where is my baby? Someone, help! Anybody! Where is my baby?
The man's heart begins to race as he immediately dials his home phone, no answer. He jumps in his car and drives frantically, turning onto the interstate. Cars are piled up everywhere. He illegally backs up the off-ramp and, almost simultaneously, a 757 airplane crashes in the distance. His mind is besieged with fear. Racing to his house, he finds no one home. He shouts for his wife. He runs into the living room and there sits a Bible in her clothes, she's gone. A husband and father, puts a shotgun to his mouth, tears rolling as he looks at a family picture and his kid's clothes on the floor. He knows what has happened and cries out his last words before pulling the trigger. Why didn't I listen?
911. What is your emergency? 911. What is your emergency?
Report after report of loss and chaos continue to pour in.
Breaking news, CNN. Lead anchor Andrew Cooper reporting.
Suddenly, without warning, seemingly thousands, if not millions, of people have disappeared. Meanwhile, 911 emergency response systems are crashing due to the overload of calls. A roving reporter stands by with a word from White House correspondents. This just in, a 100-car pileup on a Los Angeles freeway, wait, another report, New York subway systems are reporting a major subway crash. The president and the first lady are getting ready to speak to the nation. The word is that they are currently on a conference call with world leaders, and as again, Andrew, this is not only a national crisis, but reports are coming in literally from around the world. The reports keep coming. Thousands of people have just died in one of the worst airplane crashes in history. A 757 airliner just crashed into downtown Chicago and exploded, blowing up 5 apartment complexes.
Barbara Walters addresses her audience explaining.
We all are at such loss, with the millions of you viewers share in your sorrow and shock. We are saddened with such grief as we have been unable to contact Elizabeth and it appears her husband and children have vanished as well.
All the while, fellow cast members are seen in the background hugging and consoling one another. Deep wails and groans come from the audience.
What do we do? Please tell us, what do we do?
Fights break out in an effort to be heard. Barbara asks for calm, but to no avail. Outside the studio, the streets are perilous hazards as people walk like zombies, having not slept for hours. Many mothers and fathers are seen screaming out names of children.
Jody.
shouts one delirious woman.
Jody, please Jody, oh God, where is my daughter?
Thousands stand in the streets as huge TV monitors in NY City show Oprah coming on live with a new age author slash teacher. Oprah begins.
I am not going to pretend to have any answers, but my mentor is here to answer questions that I am sure many of you have. Below on the screen, scrolls a list of thousands of the missing with a toll-free number for family members to call.
One man sits in front of his TV surfing, hoping to find any answers. He stumbles across a well-known Christian network and is stunned to see a famous minister addressing his international viewing audience.
Ladies and gentlemen, in my deepest horror I stand before you, I am so humbled and ashamed. For years I have preached a message that didn't line up with this book. But right now with everything in me I beg you all to forgive me and listen. What has taken place is an event the Bible foretold that I never dreamed would occur in my lifetime.
Breaking, a message from the President of the United States of America.
Today, I myself, the House and Senate in complete agreement, have decided to declare a state of martial law. Due to the extreme traveling conditions and the desperation of so many, we are setting 9 p.m. as curfew. At the current time I have dispatched our National Guard with the assistance of Homeland Security officials to collect all weaponry. Any resistance will lead to instantaneous arrest. There will be no trial, you will be held indefinitely. As the President speaks, one of his staff brings him an urgent message. The President becomes ashen as he turns back to address the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, it appears our enemies are seizing upon this time as an opportunity. I have just been informed that nuclear weapons in Pakistan, Iran, and Russia have been deployed in our direction. I will be with you directly with further instructions. Instantly, national warning sirens begin to blare. Wails and screams are heard. Gunshots blaze as numerous people shoot towards others and many shoots themselves.
ESPN Sports Center coming to you live from what was supposed to be home of this year's Super Bowl. Numerous NFL players are along beside me here to tell what their views, especially one of the Arizona Cardinals who lost in the first round of the playoffs, are saying. Here is one of their offensive linemen. Thanks for joining us. Please share what's on your heart.
You know, our former quarterback Kurt Warner had warned us all that there would come a day when this type of event would happen.
ESPN analyst.
What are you referring to?
Cardinal player.
Kurt said it was like a catching away or some sort of rapture or something. I mean, almost daily he would tell us about Jesus and, dude, we admired him and respected him, but it wasn't for me or many of my teammates, but I wish I would have listened to him now.
Billy O'Reilly clip.
Tonight on Bill O'Reilly, join us as Glenn Beck shares why we are still here. But first, here's a memo. Just 24 hours ago, thousands, literally millions of people just simply vanished from the face of the earth and no one seems to have the answer. But Talking Points is here to set the record straight. It has been hidden for years what really happened in Roswell, NM, and as of yesterday it has come to haunt us. It's Talking Points' view that a type of selective elimination has taken place for purposes of which we are not yet aware. But I assure you, I and my staff will go to great lengths to find the answer. Coming up next will be my interview with Glenn Beck as he discusses how he predicted a similar event but is still here. Breaking to commercial. Are you in deep sorrow, seeking answers and someone to talk to? Please call now 1-888-TALK to the missing through John Edwards.
O'Reilly.
We are here with Glenn Beck. Sir, you had stated over the last few months that you believe the whole world as we know it would change in the blink of an eye, yet you are one of the ones still here. What say you?
Glenn. Bill, with all shame and humility I say that I was deceived. As you know, Bill, I had a major bout with alcohol and to overcome it I turned to religion, and religion is what I got. Unfortunately, I realize now that it is a relationship with Jesus Christ. As you know, Bill, there is a stunning similarity to all the victims, or should I say the fortunate ones. They all were professing born-again Christians. O'Reilly interrupts. Oh come on, Glenn, you don't buy into that far-right ideology. If you can prove that I will buy you a steak dinner. Beck, breaking down, begins to sob. Bill, with all that is in me, yes, I believe that. You are crazy enough to believe that some aliens have come. I am choosing to believe what the Bible has said. Bill, out of no disrespect. your famous university you so gleefully trumpet, started as a school of ministry, you know? Please, Bill, please, America, hear me and join with me in turning your heart to Jesus now. Daycare traumatized.
Coming live from We Brainwash Kids Daycare, this is Molly Madison with Coro News, Atlanta. As you can hear, hundreds of parents are protesting this daycare center. Many have been here all night. Pleas of desperation for answers are coming, wails in the background continue. I have with me one parent who has a plea. This is Cindy Joe. Ma'am, what would you like to say?
Holding up a picture of her missing child and her voice breaking, she sobs.
Please, anyone, if you have seen this child, my child, please call, please.
News lady.
Thanks, Cindy, and yes, please, if anybody watching this has any answers, please call our studio. Joining me now is daycare worker Sabrina to tell her story. Sabrina, thanks for your time. Please share with us what happened here yesterday.
Yesterday, during our sing-along, our the kids was singing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, when instantly they all vanished. I mean right before my eyes they just vanished. I feel so hurt for all the parents, but I promise you, this daycare did nothing wrong. My little boy is gone, too, and I am in complete shock as to what to do.
Breaking news: President Barack Obama. As I had warned, nuclear missiles have been fired, and I am sad to report that just moments ago, although our defense systems were able to destroy 4 of the 7 warheads, 3 nuclear weapons penetrated our defenses, and I have just received word that the cities of Los Angeles and Kansas City and the whole southern half of Florida have been destroyed. As part of our MAD agreement, Mutually Assured Destruction, we have responded in kind to all 3 nations. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is en route to an emergency meeting of the UN. Vice President Biden is in hiding, and I myself will be in security session with our military generals. Our heart goes out to all the victims and their families. I assure you we will be taking all necessary steps to bring calm and peace to this most devastating hour. At this moment, I ask all citizens to convene at local stations being set up by our National Guard to verify citizenship with an emergency ID that is already in place. I realize there will be long lines and hours of inconvenience, but in this extreme moment of uncertainty, all security measures must be taken. Just a short while later, Geraldo Rivera, Fox News, flying in a nuclear-safe news helicopter, surveys the damage in Kansas City and screams into the microphone.
Mr. O'Reilly, this is the most devastating sight I have ever witnessed. Not even in my worst dreams, Bill, complete annihilation. Everything, and I mean everything that is still standing, is on fire.
Geraldo, any sign of life?
No, Bill, no. It's gone. Kansas City is gone along with everybody who lived here.
Privately, Katie Couric sits in her prep room staring off in the distance, recalling her interview with Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. In haunting detail, she recalls the joy and peace in Palin's life and the instant awareness that the Palin family is now missing. Katie knows in her heart that, despite years of her rebellion towards God, she has known all along what she heard years ago in Vacation Bible School, that, yes indeed, the Bible was and is the Word of God. In moments she must go and face the nation.
Do I betray my profession, or do I betray my newfound faith? No, it's a must, I must tell the world the truth. Jesus has come back for his bride.
Cuts to a commercial. Gold line for times like these.
This is CNN's Wolf Blitzer back with you live from the White House, where just a short time ago it was confirmed by a top presidential aide that the First Lady is receiving medical attention after a failed suicide attempt. White House staff has informed us that the president is just moments away from addressing the nation concerning the welfare of his own family and this nation. While we wait, let's send it back to you, Anderson.
Anderson Cooper here at CNN headquarters, bringing you up to speed. Again, in the last 48 hours, we have seen our world turned upside down, recapping, first the instantaneous disappearance of millions of global citizens, and, as if that wasn't bad enough, it catapulted one disaster after another. As of 1 hour ago, there have been over 20 plane crashes reported across the globe, with the loss of life totaling in the hundreds of thousands. Interstates and highways are littered with abandoned cars that will take weeks to clear. Amtrak is reporting they too are at least a week away from being up and running. And as reported, 3 nuclear bombs have hit our nation's cities, destroying Los Angeles, California, Kansas City, Missouri, and the southern half of the state of Florida. And just 4 hours ago, following the mad response of the USA, Iran, Russia, and Pakistan have all been hit with a nuclear attack, and we are still awaiting word on its effects. As we all know, it will be catastrophic. Wall Street, as well as all global markets, have been put on hold, and the markets have been stayed as there is no way to calculate the extreme consequences this will have on the worldwide markets.
Breaking news alert, President Obama. Ladies and gentlemen, citizens of the USA and the world, I stand before you a broken man. Normal protocol in more certain times would allow for myself to keep all personal issues relating to the welfare of my young precious daughters in the utmost of secrecy. But I and my wife, like all of you, have suffered loss at this most distressful time. After discovering that one of our most trusted friends, like hundreds of thousands of you and your children and family members, is missing, that revelation was more than my wife could bear, and as it has been reported, in the last 12 hours my wife made a vain attempt to end her life. Thankfully that attempt failed, and she is with her physician and her mother recovering. Our spiritual mentor, Reverend Wright, is by her side as well. And as such, I have taken the liberty to speak with him privately, leading up to this address. I have also spoken with several other spiritual advisors, and we have conferred that the reckless attempts of many to suggest that somehow this was an event relegated to a select group of people in this multicultural world are both narrow-minded and prejudicial, and at a time such as this I will neither tolerate nor stand by as, in the position and authority I have. I find it paramount to take this opportunity to silence all voices of hate and bigotry. So, effective immediately, during this time of declared martial law, I am instituting a moratorium of any mention of what is being called the rapture. It will be equal to hate speech, and the prosecution of such crimes will be severe and swift. Next, addressing the grievous attacks by our known enemies and our swift and aggressive retaliation, again let me say how much I sympathize with all of you suffering this atrocity, but let it be known all around the world that we have successfully struck back with such fervor that not only are those nations' leaders now extending their deepest regret and urgent requests for face-to-face meetings, but the whole world has asked for an emergency conference to be held right here at the UN headquarters. Prime Minister Putin has recommended that I take the lead of ushering in a very strong unified response globally in reacting to the devastating loss of all those missing and those who have died due to such events. Over the next days and hours, I will be asking all of you, as well as all of the citizens of the world, to remain calm, to observe our curfew, and to stay tuned for further instructions. I have the utmost confidence in the goodness of the people of the world, and in no short order, I believe with the right spirit and will, we all can come to a place of change that will take us to new heights and put this godforsaken time behind us. Until next time, peace and farewell. In a small country farmhouse, a man hugs his wife as she sobs for her children. They had always sent their kids to church services but never went themselves. They know their children are safe, they know they are with Jesus, but they also know what's ahead. The husband's heart begins to fail as his mind torments him with the sermons he heard that warned of the great tribulation.
So many things will change.
The depiction just presented is not only an eye-opening, shocking experience to say the least, but it's merely a tiny piece of the traumatic jaw-dropping reality that awaits those who reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior today. This is their future. And lest you think this is just an emotional embellishment and/or that we're over-dramatizing this reenactment for personal effect, you need to realize it's based on actual events that the Bible says are coming one day to our planet. And might I add, very soon. Following the rapture of the church, which, by the way, could happen at any moment, the Bible says that all unbelievers on the planet will be ushered into a period of time called the 7-year tribulation, which is literally the worst time in the history of mankind. I didn't say that, Jesus did.
Matthew 24:21-22. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect those days will be shortened.
The 7-year tribulation will be so bad, Jesus says, that if God didn't keep it to just 7 years, no one would be left alive. Obviously, it's a time frame you want to escape, which can only be avoided by getting saved now through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And for those of you wondering why this tribulation period is kept to exactly 7 years, let's revisit that question from our previous study, the rapture. Don't be deceived. The answer is found in the book of Daniel.
Daniel 9:20-27. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. 77s are decree for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know and understand this, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the Ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens, and 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the Anointed One will be cut off and will have nothing. The people of the Ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolations have been decreed. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the 7 he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation, until the end that is decreed is poured out on him.
If you've ever wondered why it's specifically a 7-year tribulation and not 94 or 135 or even a 2-year tribulation, here it is. This is where it all began. The 7-year tribulation is the final 7 of 77s, also known as the 70th week prophecy of the book of Daniel. KJV translates 7s as week as in 7 days in a week. There will be a total of 77s until God basically wraps up history and fulfills the rest of his promises that he made to the Jewish people. However, after 62 sevens and 7 sevens for a total of 69 sevens have passed, after the decree that goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem from Daniel's time, the Anointed One or the Messiah will be cut off. That's exactly what we see with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. History records for us the date when King Artaxerxes issued the commandment to rebuild Jerusalem in 445 BC. So, if you take the 69 sevens or years mentioned above that need to transpire before the Messiah is cut off, and times that by 7 for each year, you get a total of 483 years. To calculate the exact number of days, you need to take the 483 years and times it by 360, because the Jewish calendar only had 360 days for each year, and you get a grand total of 173,880 days. So, what happened 173,880 days after the decree to rebuild Jerusalem? Well, that just happens to be the exact date Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, where he was rejected or cut off from his people. That's not by chance. And neither is the event that is presented in the next verse.
Daniel 9:27. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 7. In the middle of the 7 he will put an end to sacrifice and offering. And on a wing of the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation, until the end that is decreed is poured out on him.
So here we see the last days Antichrist will make a covenant with the people of Israel, which is the very event that triggers or starts the final 7 or week of the 70th week prophecy, i.e. the 7-year tribulation. Then halfway into that final 7, the middle of the 7, the Antichrist goes up into the Jewish temple and declares himself to be God, which is called the abomination of desolation. First of all, we know this final 7 is still future because the Jewish people had their temple destroyed in 70 AD, and thus in order for this passage to be fulfilled, there needs to be another rebuilt Jewish temple, which obviously hasn't happened yet. However, they are making plans for it right now as we speak, but it's not fully into existence yet. But once this final week commences after the rapture of the church, all hell breaks loose on this planet as God's focus goes back on the Jewish people to consummate the final week. And again, that's one time frame you don't want to be a part of, as this researcher admits.
Every dimension of our culture, every dimension of our society is escalating on the downslide, being devastated by depravity, more and more given over to lust and pride and self-indulgence, immorality and rejection of God and Christ and the truth of Scripture. And thus, man is sentenced, his whole world is sentenced to divine wrath. Man will drink the cup of wrath to the fullest. Jeremiah the prophet looked at the coming period of God's judgment in reference to Israel and what they would have to face when he wrote, "Alas, for that day is great, there is none like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble." Isaiah, on the other hand, looked also at the final wrath and saw it not so much from the perspective of the Jews, but in chapter 34 of Isaiah he looked at it with reference to the Gentiles. In verse 1, "Draw near, O nations, to hear and listen, O peoples, let the earth and all it contains here and the world and all that springs from it, he's engulfing all of humanity, for the Lord's indignation is against all the nations and his wrath against all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them, he has given them over to slaughter so their slain will be thrown out, their corpses will give off their stench, the mountains will be drenched with their blood and all the host of heaven will wear away and the sky will be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts will also wither away as a leaf withers from the vine, or as one withers from a fig tree, for my sword is satiated in heaven. Behold, it shall descend for judgment upon Edom and upon the people whom I have devoted to destruction. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood, it is sated with fat with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams, for the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. There will come a final day of judgment. For the Jews it will be the time of Jacob's trouble, and for the Gentiles it will be the slaughter of the world.
But what of the church? Again, the church escapes this time of God's wrath at the rapture of the church prior to this final week of Daniel's 70th week prophecy, the seven-year tribulation. Such clear evidence of this truth includes the following.
The Jewish people and the unbelieving Gentiles are the audience of the seven-year tribulation. The church is not mentioned even once during the events of the seven-year tribulation.
The church is promised not to experience God's wrath being poured out in the seven-year tribulation. The church is specifically promised to be kept from the seven-year tribulation.
The church is seen up in heaven during the seven-year tribulation.
The church comes back with Jesus at his second coming at the end of the seven-year tribulation.
For an exhaustive and detailed discussion of this biblical truth of the church being absent from the earth during the final week of Daniel's 70th week prophecy, the seven-year tribulation, again, please check out our previous study, The Rapture, Don't Be Deceived. Now, with that said, I do believe, however, that there will be a lot of churchgoers who find themselves left behind and thrust into this horrible seven-year tribulation along with the Jewish people and the other unbelieving Gentiles. Why? Because going to a church service doesn't save you. Getting dunked or sprinkled with water doesn't save you. Trying to be a good person doesn't save you because we can never be good enough. All religious people who have bought into the lie of thinking that salvation is made complete in their own works, they too, like the Jewish people and the unbelieving Gentiles, are headed for a rude awakening, as this person remarks.
Well then, after the church has gone, what is going to take place in the world? We are in heaven already, the rapture having taken place. Let us suppose that last night, while things were going on in the ordinary way, suddenly there was a heartening shout heard from the glory. Every redeemed one responded to the trumpet of God. In a moment the graves were opened, and in every place where the believing dead were resting, the bodies were raised, and the living saints were changed. We found ourselves caught away. We entered with him into the Father's house, and gathered around the throne and fell down to worship. We will say that we have had 24 hours in heaven. At first our hearts would just be too full of Christ to think of anything else. O sinner, you wouldn't be there. It is saved people I am talking about. But he, himself, stirs us at last to think of what he is about to do. We say to ourselves, what is going to happen next in that world we have left behind? We look down to that poor scene where we lived yesterday. Look at the streets of the great cities. We can see the headlines, a great number of people have disappeared. There is a rush to get the newspapers to find out all about this strange event. Throngs are crowding the popular churches to hear the preachers give their explanation of the great disappearance of so many people. I believe there will be lots of church going for a little while after the rapture of God's people. Those left behind will be crowding into the churches as never before. I think I see the Reverend Mr. Smooththings standing in his pulpit, with pale, wan face. He looks at scores of parishioners he hasn't seen for many years and thinks to himself, now, I have to explain to these people. I have been telling them for 20 years that this talk of the coming of Christ is false. People who believed in the coming of Christ were looked on as idiotic ranters who didn't know what they were talking about. I think I hear mutterings down in the congregation, we trusted our souls to you. You had been to the colleges, seminaries, and universities, and read a whole library of books. We believed you when you told us the old idea of salvation by the blood of Christ was all worn out, and that we could save ourselves by culture.
We believed you when you said Christ's coming was only a fantastic notion. Now explain this to us. Another cries, what about my grandmother? She believed in her Bible to the end. She was reading just the other day. In an hour when ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now grandmother is gone, and I am here. Now, Pastor, explain all this. Oh, there are going to be some wonderful meetings after the Lord has come. There is that world seething with corruption, men's hearts failing them for fear. Christian statesmen will have gone, Christian businessmen, and people of all ranks who knew Christ will have disappeared. Cities and communities will be in turmoil. What are they going to do? Let's look at the book and see.
So yes, let us look at the book, the Bible, and see what is about to happen to the planet after the rapture of the church. What horrible events will explode onto the scene and give credence to the warnings from Jesus? You don't want to be there, get saved now. Why? Because it will be the worst time in the history of mankind.